Welcome back to the show. Plenty still to come throughout your Tuesday morning. We're going to head to Boston. We're going to head to the UK. Archie Thompson to join us on the Socceroos. We'll try and catch up with someone at Melbourne Park later on as well. Hopefully, Elena Dokic, Josh Boone from Melbourne United, and Adam Dale as well, ahead of the Test match, which starts on Thursday. But for the moment, Craig Gabriel joins us, as he does every day throughout the Australian Open. Craig, good morning.
Morning, guys.
You sprang in a little bit more this morning. Can you see the finish line?
No, I can't see anything at the moment. I really can't.
A couple of coffees, hopefully, might.
You know, the thing is, coffee has no effect on me.
Me either.
I can have a coffee and go to sleep within 2 minutes.
So can I. Are you a coffee man, Bryce?
Yeah, not a lot. I used to drink a lot of coffee, and I used to go through the highs and lows all day. And
did you?
It does affect me.
So when
me.
You drink coffee, you're up and about and bang, on.
Yeah, but then I really hit low as well. So I might be mentally exhausted, but then I can't sleep. So anything, if I have a coffee after 5 o'clock or something like that.
No, really?
Dreadful. Even that
really?
Night at 10 o'clock at night. So it really does muck me around. So I try and leave it. Maybe just a social coffee in the morning, something like that. But
yep.
I used to be through the highs and lows of
it. I love my George Clooney coffee.
Oh, do you? Nespresso.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I actually have a pod machine at home myself. It's very handy, very handy. Let's start with one of the classic women's games last night, Simona Halep and Serena Williams. 6-1, 4-6, 6-4, but that doesn't really tell the tale of the tape, Craig. What an incredible night of women's tennis on Rod Laver Arena.
It was really a wonderful match, and I thought this was going to be an absolute blowout after the first set. I mean, after the first game, I thought, oh, this is going to be competitive when Williams was broken. Then when she wins 6 games in a row to close out that first set, I thought, oh, my goodness. I mean, seriously, this is over and done with.
Yeah.
And then it gets tight. And we saw some great shot making from both women, and it was a fantastic finish to that match. It
really
was.
Worthy of a final?
Oh, well, yeah. You know, when you look at the two names that were across the net from one another and the standard of tennis that was played, yeah, I think that would have been worthy of a final.
Yeah, so Serena Williams threw in 3 sets. I know she dropped the set in the middle, and there were patches of inconsistency throughout the game from Serena, but how well is she tracking at this point of the tournament? Would she be happy with where she's at?
I think she'd be okay, but knowing what she's like, nothing is good for her. She could be playing out of the universe, and it still wouldn't be good enough for her. She is beyond being a perfectionist. So, things during that match would have made her happy, but there would have been things that she wouldn't have been happy about, like losing her serve in the first game.
Mm.
Those sort of things.
Yeah, so, even in the second set, she went up a break early, and then
exactly
right back into things. Yep. So, 3-set win there for Serena Williams last night. The later game too, in case you're just waking up this morning on the men's side of things, Novak Djokovic won in 4 sets, 6-4, 6-7, 6-2, 6-3 over Daniil Medvedev. What did we learn about Novak last night? Is he on top of his game like we saw in the back 6 months of last year?
I think he's not quite at that level, but he's getting there, and he's doing what's necessary to get through these matches. I mean, I didn't expect him to necessarily lose a set against Denis Shapovalov in the previous round, but then look how he answered that with the 4th set, 6-blotch. I think he'd be okay with his performance, but when you get to this point of the tournament, this is when you got to start peaking. And I think he will do that against Kei Nishikori.
Out of, Federer's obviously gone now, but out of those three, who's playing the best tennis, Djokovic or Nadal at this point of the tournament?
I think probably Nadal has been a little bit more impressive. He hasn't dropped a set, from what I remember, whereas Novak now has dropped a set. You'd have to say Nadal is a bit more impressive. I mean, in the way he handled Tomáš Berdych, those first 2 sets of love and one. That was solid.
Yeah, no, incredible performance last time out. Let's head to one of the big moments of yesterday. Kei Nishikori took Pablo Carreño Busta to 5 sets. Got a little bit tense at the end. Carreno Busta was up 8-5. So in the old tiebreak system,
he would have won.
He would have won the match. He would have won the match. Unfortunately, he lost the next 5 points and lost 10-8 in the tiebreak. And then this blow-up happened. Have a listen to Pablo Carreno Busta. Or have we got the audio there? No, we do. Nishikori winning and then, Carreno Busta blowing up here.
Five in a row, Leighton.
Oh, what a comeback.
See, Michael Chang.
Yeah, how happy his camp is.
And 5-4, Carreño Busta was furious at that match. He had a chat with the chair umpire for quite some time at 8-5, and you can see him. He's thrown his bag across the court, picks it up, and he is still yelling at the chair umpire.
Something set him off at 8-5. He was up in that match tiebreak, and he didn't win another point after the disagreement with the umpire.
Audio there, courtesy of Channel 9. So he picked up his bag, turfed it across the court, picked it up, started storming off the court, turned around and gave the umpire a serve on the way out. It was an incredible performance,
so
even after the game.
Where would that have featured if it was Nick Kyrgios?
Oh, I know.
Yeah?
You're telling me. I'm with you.
Where
it would be back page, front page news.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And where would we probably get to?
About 4 pages in.
Yeah. And where would we have been if the racket obliteration of Alexander Zverev was Nick Kyrgios?
Well, the thing wouldn't break. That was the most difficult thing. He bashed it 5 times on one side and bashed it again. It was unbreakable racket. He eventually got there in the end.
But the other classic was Lucas Pui. Lucas Pui smashed his racket. And the thing was, like, contorted somehow. He's picked it up and then bent the head of the racket into, almost like a folding book or something. Oh, the classics.
So why did he... Have we seen these blasts before from Carreno Busta? Is he a fiery character?
Not that I can remember.
Where did that come from?
It beats me. I have to admit, because I was concentrating on what was happening on Rod Laver Arena, I didn't see it happen when it happened. But normally... He's a relatively mild guy, normally.
Is it just genuine frustration to the rule change and how it's different everywhere? And, you know, he'd technically won a match in any other...
He's not Katie Bolter, who thought she had won the match and started celebrating.
Oh, that's right. That was another one, yeah. There's been some good moments, hasn't it?
No, it's provided plenty of moments. But, that was an incredible blow-up. Kai Nishikori, talk to us about him. He's the number 8 seed, loves a 5-setter, small in stature. Michael Chang's a coach, or one of his coaches. And a great story for Japanese tennis, but he now finds himself in the quarterfinals again. He seems to like the Australian Open.
Yeah, look, the hard court events he likes.
Mm.
He does well at those. What is that? 1, 2, 3, 5 setters in 4 matches. We were talking about Roberto Bautista Agut with his back-to-back 5 setters after being up 2 sets to love. I mean, I think that award of the ever-ready person should be, the Duracell person should be going to Kei Nishikori.
5 hours and 5 minutes it went for that match.
I mean, you've got to give it to him. This is incredible, that the fitness and the mental stamina to get through those matches.
Yep. A little bit of another upset too with, the other two matches yesterday were upsets. Lucas Pui beating the 11th seed Borna Koric, and also Milos Raonic defeating the number 4 seed Alex Zverev. Before we get on to Zverev's meltdown, Lucas Pui, tell us a bit about him. He's inside the top 30, a Frenchman, but we don't know a hell of a lot about him.
Solid player. He's been an important part of the French Davis Cup team, especially 2017 when he scored the winning point to give France the cup. So he's now working with Amélie Mauresmo. Amélie Mauresmo jumped ship because she had been appointed and accepted the role of Davis Cup captain for France.
Mm.
He approached her. And she said, okay, I'll go with Luca.
She maybe gave up. Pays better.
Yeah, maybe. Gave that up. A nice French player to watch. You know, they've got such beautiful strokes and such flair. So just one of those sorts of players. Just, not the consistent. He's been up, I think, inside the top 20 as well, but just inside the top 30 now. So a bit up and down on occasions.
We saw the meltdown from Alexander Zverev yesterday, yes, as Milos Raonic took him to the clean, especially in the first two sets, 6-1, 6-1, 7-6 in the third. Milos Raonic through to a quarterfinal again at the Australian Open, and Alexander Zverev, more importantly probably for him, out again at a Grand Slam, probably earlier than he'd expected. What goes wrong at Grand Slams with Alexander Zverev?
He just played crap yesterday.
Yeah.
Those first two sets, I couldn't believe. Look, it's no disgrace to lose to Milos Raonic, but the way he lost with those first two sets, that was an embarrassment.
Was he getting played off the court, or was it just unforced errors and making a meal of it all?
It was all of the above, really. Yeah. And Raonic just continued on his own way, not uttering boo to anybody, and just kept on slamming down bombs on the court. And Zverev just couldn't handle it. You saw something negative happening from the very early stages of this match. He was starting to get a bit antsy early on. And I guess it just got to him with that racket smash. But also, I was watching Ivan Lendl. Ivan never shows any sort of emotion. He's got the same face if the guy has just won Wimbledon, or the same face if he's just lost first round in a 250. But he actually stood up on a couple of occasions, I think maybe trying to get Zverev's attention, not to coach him or anything like that, but to give him the warning. Right. I hadn't seen Ivan get up. Even the days of Andy Murray, I never saw him stand up.
No, I can't recall that either. For Zverev, how does he overcome this now in slams? Because surely, I know he's only young, but that must start playing on his mind as well, come the big tournaments.
You'd think so. You'd think it's going to start
playing. He's done everything but the slams, really. Yeah,
exactly. Won the year-end championships
as
well. The majors, very good. But he's only reached the quarters of a major once, last year.
Mm.
So he needs, I don't know what it is really with him. He just seems to get a bit of a mental block once he gets into a couple of rounds, but then there's always a bit of an excuse. No, he played well. Oh, no, I was injured. Oh, I was struggling to do this. Get all that out of your system.
Yeah. And also, when he lost his serve, I've never seen anyone lose their serve so significantly like that, too. Three double faults in a row. That's why the racket ended up in about 14 pieces. Yeah,
there was a cameraman nearby, and I think he could hear some noise going on. He got a shock when he turned around.
What did it say? It was one of those handheld cameras, yeah, so sort of hold it like a suitcase and get that low shot. Jeez, he was brave. He was about 2 metres from him.
Look, that was a classic racket break. It reminded me so much of the Marcus Baghdatis one from a few years ago. It was priceless.
It was.
I wanted that racket for my collection.
Now, who was it? There was someone it might have been in the first week of the Australian Open, who smashed the racket and then gave it to a kid. And the kid in the front, because so this kid's got this smash racket that you're never going to be able to use. I've never seen a bigger smile or celebration from the kid. He absolutely loved it.
At one of my houses, I used to have all the walls in the garage covered in smash rackets, tennis rackets from players.
That's actually very good.
Yeah. That's a good memento.
That is. Yeah. That is. A couple of the other results from yesterday on the women's side of things. Svitolina over Keys, Osaka over Sevastova, and Pliskova over Muguruza. All the higher seeds there winning and getting through. Yeah. So no real upsets there. Can any of those do some damage, especially probably Naomi Osaka, who's got the big game when she needs it, maybe deeper in the tournament? How far can she go this Australian Open?
Well,
dropped a set again yesterday.
Yeah. She tends to win every time she wins the first set. But to do that after losing the first set, that's strong. That's good. To regroup and come back and win that. I was calling some of that match on Australian Open radio. It was a bit of a dire match. You know, it was tough to keep concentrated on that match, but she's gotten through it. And against Svitolina, I would go with her to win. Mm-hmm. That Svitolina match was dire as well, for goodness sake. You know, sometimes you hope these matches are going to be good, and then you think, why aren't they not on court 17?
That was with Keys. Yeah. The score there, of course, 6-2, 6-1, 1-6. Yeah. So, sorry, I mucked that up a bit there, but Svitolina 6-2.
1-6, 6-1.
Yeah, lost that second set. And is that what you're saying, that it was just a whole lot of errors that caused those things? And
it was just
breaks of serve.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
But it was just a boring match.
Yeah.
It really was.
He's really pumping up that game. Can't wait for the next round. Pavlyuchenkova plays Collins today. Two unseeded ladies in the quarterfinal at Rod Laver Arena. That's the afternoon session. Collins is a great story. She's taken a couple of huge scalps, as has Pavlyuchenkova. So who do you fancy in this one this afternoon?
Yeah, good question. I think this one is a bit of a toss of the coin.
Mm.
I don't know who I would go for. You know, if push comes to shove, I'd probably go with Pavlyuchenkova because she's got a bit more experience at this level than Danielle Collins is concerned. This is Danielle Collins' first Australian Open as well.
Yep.
So that's the only reason I would go with Pavlyuchenkova, but it wouldn't surprise me.
The one everyone, though, is looking forward to in Australia is Ash Barty. She's
playing today.
The Barty party continues at 7 o'clock tonight. She'll be taking on Petra Kvitova, the number 8 seed, who we caught up a couple of weeks ago with on RSN 927, and she was quite
confident. Isn't she sweet?
Yeah, she was fantastic. She gave us a great insight into her return to the tour and how life has been and the last couple of years and her way back to the top, which has been such a story to follow.
Yep.
How far can Ash go? Can she? I know she's in such good form. She's hitting the ball well, but Kvitova is another challenge altogether.
It is. She is another challenge. They've played three times, and I think Ash is going to turn tables on this occasion. She came so close in Sydney a week ago, so close. And I don't think she's really got to do that much different. Tweak a bit here and there, maybe. And that crowd will really lift her big time. So, yeah, I think Ash will get through.
I heard Alicia Molik yesterday saying that, even though she wouldn't have said this at the time, she actually reflects on that loss and says, not a bad thing in Sydney, considering their meeting only 2 weeks later,
exactly.
Less than 2 weeks later. What can Ash take from that loss that she can bring tonight against Petra Kvitova?
Well, look, try and rattle Petra, because Petra can get rattled. Full marks to Kvitova for her comeback in that final set, because Barty was up 3-love in the final set of the Sydney final. And Kvitova was starting to feel it physically as well. I think she was starting to cramp towards the end of that match, and Barty looked relatively fresh in those conditions. So, yeah, it's just stay with her. Don't let her get too far ahead. Being a lefty, it's a different game to play, and Barty's, I think, has got a 9-5 record on lefties, so that's not bad. It's just doing what she did, maybe in a couple of instances a little better.
One last one on Barty as well. Talk to us about Barty the athlete, because I think that's something, her physical transformation in the last 2 years is another thing that's maybe been underrated over the last couple of weeks when we've spoken of her improvement. I saw a couple of images of her from when she was playing Big Bash, and her body shape has completely changed. And now it seems the longer matches go, the more you'd fancy her to win.
Look, I think the work she's done, and I couldn't tell you how much work she's put in or what avenues she's worked on, but that has made her quicker. She was always quick. But that strength has allowed her to hit the ball harder. And I loved the way she's playing the slice. She's trying to open things up on the court, come in behind it. Fantastic to see a woman player at the net playing volleys rather than just there for the coin toss and the handshake.
Yes.
And also with Ash, she'll be the first Australian woman, if she gets through, to reach the semis of the Australian Open since Wendy Turnbull
wow.
in 1984. And I actually had, before I knew that, I had a couple of messages exchanges with Wendy the other day, and she's up on the Gold Coast at the moment because she loves coming back to Australia at this time and spending time on the Gold Coast. So it'd have been it'd be fantastic if Wendy was here as well, the two Queenslanders.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. Tonight in the men's side of things, we've got Francis Tiafoe playing Rafael Nadal. Yep. And before that, RSN 927's very own Stefanos Tsitsipas. He'll take on Roberto Bautista Agut. Now, first of all, someone who loves a volley himself, Tsitsipas.
Yes.
Fantastic to watch. Do you think he can continue his good form after beating Roger Federer the other night?
The only concern I have on that, I don't know if it would, actually happen, him having a slight letdown after beating Federer.
Mm-hmm.
That's my only concern. Otherwise, he's all out. He's going to go. He's going to get the win.
And can Francis Tiafoe, after turning 21 on Sunday, maybe get a late birthday present?
No.
And beat Rafael Nadal?
No.
Can he take a set off him?
No.
All righty. There we go. Craig Gabriel, thank you very much. We might replay that tomorrow if he does get a set. Good luck to Francis Tiafoe tonight.
So with that said, Rafa's your tip?
Today, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But for the title, it's still Novak.
Okay.
My toss-up for the title was Novak or Sasha Zverev.
Yep.
I want the racket now.
You're on Novak and you've got a bonus racket at the end of the tournament. Craig Gabriel joining us as he does every morning throughout the Australian Open. Plenty to dissect tomorrow. Ash Barty does play today, just in case you're wondering.
7 p.m.